This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
If you're just tuning in and you want to know who won the girls' championship game, did you miss a thriller? As Carlinville defeated Gillespie 37-32 in overtime. So the Lady Cavaliers take home their third consecutive tournament championship. And now we're ready for the boys' action to begin. The Staunton Bulldogs, decked out in red with white numerals, black and white trim, they will win the tip. And Devin Ray will bring the ball across midcourt. He'll try to go over to the right side and dish it off to Kyle McCullough. McCullough going to swing it back to Kinder underneath, off the glass, and in. Brent Kinder with our first 2 points of the game, as the Staunton Bulldogs did a good job of working that to the wing, to the low post, off the glass, and in the hole. And that's what it's all about, says Ty Locks. Back the other way go the Warriors, as they'll give the ball off to Ben Eberlin. Down in the corner, three-pointer shot is up and comes up short. Kinder comes up with a rebound for SHS. He'll give the ball off to Devin Ray. Ray will dish it off to McCullough. McCullough on the wing to Kinder. Back up top to Ray for three. Caught the back iron, went off the back iron. Kinder comes away with the rebound, and the Bulldogs will reset. Kinder back up top to McCullough, then over to Ray. Ray looking to get the ball into Booth, but he's being guarded by Eberlin. So Booth comes up to the high post to get the ball, dishes it off to Ray, into the corner to Kinder. They'll now try to get it into Booth. Booth almost had it taken away. Regains control, back to Goss over on the right wing. Shot goes off the backboard, too long, too strong, but Staunton comes up with a rebound as Ethan Booth chased it down over on the left side. They'll reverse it back to Goss up top. He'll come up on a dribble, give it over to McCullough. McCullough's pass is deflected and stolen away by the Calhoun Warriors. As the Warriors go down the floor, a foul going to be called. This one will go against Kyle McCullough. McCullough will pick up his first. And the Warriors will inbound. And as they try to throw the ball down the sideline, McCullough knocks it out of bounds. Long, dangerous pass from a position just in front of the scorer's table. Now it's even worse for the Warriors as they'll take the ball out in the corner. They'll bring it up top to Clark. Clark swings it over on the wing to Castleton. Castleton to Eberlin. Eberlin back to Castleton. They'll go up top to Zirkelbach. Zirkelbach, the only senior out there for the Warriors. Shot from the baseline, goes up off the iron, no good. Coming away with the rebound is McCullough. He races down the floor, then slows things down, gives it up to Ray at the top of the key. Almost lost control, gets it over to Kinder on the left wing. Back to Ray at the head of the key, and it goes to Booth at the elbow on the left side. Over to Ray, thought about a three. Instead, he'll dribble it to the free throw line, and then pass it back up top to McCullough. Into the corner to Booth, baseline jumper, it's good. Ethan Booth with a smooth baseline jumper. Don't look now, but the Bulldogs of Staunton have opened up a 4-0 lead. 5:40 to go, first quarter. Clark bringing the ball down, give it off to Zirkelbach. Now into the corner, it goes to Nelson. Back up top to Zirkelbach. Zirkelbach between the circles, goes over on the right wing. Nelson going to drive from that right wing. He'll do a little hook pass to Eberlin, and he'll go up and power off the glass, and it's good. Nelson doing a good job with that hook pass. Found Eberlin going baseline from the right side. He puts it off the glass, and it's 4-2. Staunton with the lead and the ball. Ray being pressured out there by Zirkelbach. He'll give the ball off to McCullough. Back to Ray for three. Off the back iron, no good. Fighting for the rebound, it is Brody Castleton, the 6'3 sophomore, who leaps high and brings that one down. He'll give it off to Colby Clark, who'll set the offense up. It's a 1-3-1 offense. Eberlin's down there on the low post. He gets the ball, kicks it back up top to Clark for three. Off the iron, no good. Fighting for the rebound, it's Nelson. Nelson takes it up and in, nice and smooth, as Nelson, that 6'7", got that ball and never brought it down. Just sprung right back up, put it right back in. Don't look now. It's tied 4-4 with 4:45 showing on the first quarter clock. Timeout on the floor. We'll take a break, too. You're listening to WSMI. Megan Cordy, our producer, back the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Tim Mize. We're up here on the top row of a jam-packed gymnasium as we have had a big crowd for the girls' championship game. And as they left, there was plenty of people to replace them in the seats. We're still packed up here for the boys' championship game between Calhoun and Staunton. We're tied 4-4. As Staunton inbounds the ball, works it around the perimeter. Kinder on top, going to give it off to Goss. Goss being guarded over there by Nelson. Gives it up to Ray. Ray picks up his dribble and goes to Kinder over on the left wing. Kinder brings around on a dribble. Ooh, off his leg. Got away with it. Back to Ray it goes. Ray gives off to Booth to have the key. Back to Ray. Now over in the wing to Goss. Thought about a three. Took that three. Got it partially blocked by Nelson. And there's Eberlin to come away with it. And that's what the tall timber does. They'll deflect shots even when they don't get a strong block. They deflect it enough that it goes awry. Now the Warriors of Calhoun coming up with the alley-oop pass, looking for Nelson. He tipped it like a volleyball, brought it back up, kept it alive. Didn't make the shot, but with those big, long arms, he was able to tip it back out. Now it's going to be Zirkelback for a jumper. His shot will not go. There's Booth to come away with the rebound. 3:25 to go, first quarter, tied 4-4. Calhoun and Staunton. Staunton in their red uniforms. They're going from right to left as we look down on the floor. Kinder has the ball over to Goss over on the wing. Goss doesn't want to take that three. Got it blocked while ago. Booth says, I'll take one up top. It goes off the iron. Zirkelback comes away with a rebound. Stone Zirkelback, 6'2 senior. Kicks it over on the right wing to Colby Clark. Clark back to Nelson. He'll drive. A little floater. It's good. Corey Nelson with a sweet little floater from about 10 feet heading right down the lane. Big guy looks very picturesque when he puts that one in. 6-4, Calhoun with their first lead of the game. Staunton had scored the first 4 points. Calhoun then tied him up. Staunton took the lead. Calhoun's tied him again. Over on the wing it goes to McCullough. He'll drive and then kick it out to Ray. Ray to Kinder over here on the left side now. Booth being swallowed up in there by Eberlin, doing a good job of defending him. Eberlin pushes him all the way out to the elbow. Booth gets the ball, can't do anything with it, so he'll give it up. And now a shot going to be blocked and a foul going to be called. This one's going to go against Colby Clark. Clark will pick up his first. It'll be a shooting foul. And it will send Kyle McCullough to the free throw line to shoot a pair. McCullough, 5'11", senior. Eyes the first, tries the first, buys the first. His first point of the game makes it 6-5. And his second one comes up short. So Calhoun still leading by one. We'll have Eberlin pull down the rebound, give it off to Nelson. Nelson brings it up on the dribble, takes it into Eberlin at the post. Eberlin's little floater's no good. McCullough comes away with it for SHS. Ray on the dribble, spins away from the defender, and then goes back, gives the ball off to McCullough. They'll go set up the double low post offense. They'll go Goss to Kinder. Kinder off the glass and end. Kinder does a nice job there of taking the reverse backdoor pass and bringing it up for an easy 2-7-6. Staunton's taking the lead. Calhoun's taking the timeout. We'll take a timeout as well. You're listening to WSMI. Following the timeout, it'll be Calhoun ball. They will inbound, decked out in their white uniforms with a red trim, red and black trim, red numerals. Zirkelback brings it down, kicks it over on the wing to Nelson. Nelson was going to drive, hesitated just a second, and then as he tried to put the dribble down, had his feet shuffling first. That's the first turnover of the game against the Warriors. One turnover each way, 7-6, Staunton with the lead, 90 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Bulldogs ball. Ray spins at the head of the key. Goes over in the corner to McCullough. McCullough wanted to find Kinder inside, but he was just simply guarded too closely. Ray, heading to the basket, tried the Euro-Asia step. Well, the Euro step's okay, but the Euro-Asia is one too many. He's called for traveling. Two turnovers on the Bulldogs would give the ball back to the Calhoun Warriors. Calhoun brings the ball across midcourt, going from left to right as we look down on the floor. Over on the wing, it goes to Clark. Clark to Zirkelback. Zirkelback back to Clark. Now to Nelson. Nelson's going to work his way into the lane, then kick it back up top to Clark. His shot's off the glass and the iron. No good. Reach-in foul of frustration going to be called on Colby Clark. So Clark will pick up his second foul, and this is something that Coach Grainer doesn't like to do, and that is go to the bench. But he will do so and bring in Caden Ballman. Ballman, a 6'4 junior, will replace Clark, who will have a seat with those two fouls. We head to the final minute of the first quarter. 7-6, Staunton with the lead, Staunton with the ball. Kinder on the drive, going to stop at the elbow and then kick it back out. He'll give it off to Goss, over to Ray. Ray going to try to go inside. It's stolen right there. by Eberlin. I tell you what, Eberlin is a force to be reckoned with inside. He's 6'8". Not only is he 6'8 in height, but he's got long arms to go with it. He simply reached across with one hand, intercepted that pass. Back the other way, three-point shot goes up by Zirkelback. It won't go, but the Warriors maintain their rebound. Zirkelback with another shot. It rolls off the iron, and Kinder comes away with the rebound. 20 seconds to go, first quarter. Been a very well-played first quarter. Staunton 7, Calhoun 6. Staunton working for the last shot if they can hang on to the ball that long. It's pretty tough against this Calhoun defense, as they are the long arm of the law. Down to 5 seconds we go. Kinder has it over on the wing. He's going to have to rise and shoot off the glass. No good as it goes on the other side, and that's the way the first quarter ends. Staunton 7, Calhoun 6. Back with the second quarter after these messages on WSMI. In three games in pool play, Calhoun scored 60, 53, and 62. I doubt if they had been held to 6 points in any single quarter, but that's what the Bulldogs did to them in the first quarter. Second quarter, Calhoun will get the ball to start. Caden Ballman will try a three-pointer from the right side. It will not go, and the Bulldogs come away with the rebound. Devin Ray on the dribble goes between his legs, gives it off to Booth. Booth's going to dribble up, give it back to Ray. He'll fire the three. Bottom of the net. Devin Ray gets the first tray of the day and makes it 10-6. Staunton with a four-point lead. Zirkelback on the dribble, takes it over on the left wing to Nelson. Nelson will dribble back up. Oh, Ray almost picked his pocket. Instead, he'll take the ball inside to Eberlin. Eberlin will try to power to the basket. He'll draw the foul. It'll go against Ethan Booth, who denied the basket, but he'll give him a couple of free throws. For Booth, his first foul. For the Bulldogs, their second. Ben Eberlin to shoot two. First one's up. First one's good. 3 points in the game for Ben Eberlin. He'll eye a second free throw after he takes one spin dribble. Then he'll try a second free throw, and he'll buy a second free throw. Two for two from the cherry stripe for Ben Eberlin. First free throws of the night for the Warriors, and it's 10-8. Staunton with the lead and the ball. McCullough tried that bounce pass to the baseline, and there is Nelson to come away with a steal once again. Good wraparound defense, stays nice and clean. And now a little runner down the left side by Corey Nelson off the glass. It was a pretty shot, as they say, as that one went high off the glass. Very soft touch for the big guy, as it looked like maybe he was nestling a ripe apple in his hand and did not want to bruise it. Putting off the glass. Now Goss is going to try to go the other way. He's going to have his pocket pick, as the Warriors playing good defense there. Off to Eberlin it goes, inside to Nelson. Nelson with a little turnaround jumper, and it's good. Corey Nelson, all of a sudden, he's putting on a shooting exhibition, as that was a sweet turnaround jumper from about 10 feet over on the left side. A little fade away, and I tell you what, when a man is 6'7", and he's fading away, you're not going to block that shot. All of a sudden, Calhoun has opened up a 12-10 lead after trailing for most, well, of all of the first quarter. Now it's Goss up top to Kinder over on the left wing. Kinder over to Goss, back to Ray to the right side. Bulldogs looking to answer, draw back even, or perhaps take a lead. They trail 12-10, try to force the ball inside. It's deflected as McCullough reaches back and gets it. His heel is on the end line, so that'll go down as a turnover. Bulldogs trying to force some passes into the post. And I'll tell you what, not only is Calhoun tall, but as I said, they've got those long arms. And when they wrap around you, they get their hands in the passing lane and deflect a lot of passes, making life difficult to go inside. Nelson now thought about a shot from the baseline right side. Instead, he'll go up to Zirkelback, and Zirkelback will drain a three from the head of the key. And don't look now, but Calhoun has opened up a 15-10 lead. Staunton needs a timeout. We'll take a timeout, too. You're listening to WSMI. Now, the Calhoun Warriors, like a sleeping bear, all of a sudden they woke up, and they woke up with a vengeance, trailing 10-6. They have now come up with 9 unanswered points, and they lead this one 15-10 as Staunton takes the timeout to try to stop the bleeding. Now they'll go over to Goss on the right wing into Booth, and that was the play that worked so well at the start of the day. And Coach Locke says, let's go back to bread and butter, but let's do it quickly before they can reverse and get back into the passing lanes. Work to perfection there. Now Nelson with the ball over on the left wing. He'll go up top to Ballman. Caden going to give the ball back to Nelson. He'll dribble to the elbow. He'll give it off to Zirkelback. Zirkelback back to Nelson. Nelson was tried to dump pass in, and there was Goss to come up with a steal. Good job there by Frank Goss of dropping back into the lap of the receiver, then leaping in front of him and getting the steal. Second turnover of the game on CHS. Devin Ray for three. Bottom of the net. He's hit his second tray of the day. Give him 6 points. Make it a 15-15 game. The Warriors have the ball. The Bulldogs have battled back. Up top to Caden Ballman. His shot's no good. Coming away with the rebound is Kyle McCullough. He'll go quickly down to Kinder. He'll drive the left side off the glass. No good. But there's Booth right in front of the rim, positioning himself perfectly for the offensive rebound and the putback and a two-point lead for the Staunton Bulldogs. Halfway through quarter number two. It is Zirkelback bringing the ball over on the wing to Ballman. Ballman goes down in the corner as it'll go to Eberlin. Now the reverse up to Nelson. Nelson with that little sweet jumper. It won't go this time, and Kinder comes away with the rebound. You gotta like the soft touch for this big kid, Corey Nelson. Devin Ray with the ball between the circles gives it off to Goss. Goss goes over on the side as Ray circles to the baseline. He's not open, so they'll reverse to Kinder on the left side. Kinder will bring it back up top, looking for Booth inside. He's covered. They try to force it in there, and again, the Warriors are there to take it away. Just collapsing on the big guy. Seven turnovers on Staunton. Most of those are forcing the pass into the post. Now going into a zone defense. The Bulldogs have allowed a shooter open in the corner. Now they'll cover him up, and as he drives, going to be a foul called against Staunton. Who will it go against? I believe Frank Goss, but we'll check. Nope, it's going to be on Devin Ray. So Ray gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. It'll be his first, team's third. Mason Farrago coming into the lineup as he will replace Caden Ballman in the Warrior lineup. So it's Farrago in there as they give the ball off to Nelson. Didn't know if he wanted to go left, didn't know if he wanted to go right. It's kind of a skating move there. And he picks up both feet at one time. And that's going to result in turnover number three against the Warriors. 3 minutes till halftime, 17-15, Staunton with the lead, Staunton with the ball. Devin Ray to the free throw line to Kinder. Kinder doesn't seem to want to take that three over here on the left side. Booth tries to dribble in the lane. That was a mistake. He took the ball down. Big guys should always keep the ball up. That's what they always say. And as a result, turnover number eight gives the ball back to the Warriors of Calhoun, who trail by two. He goes up top to Mason Farrago. Farrago to Nelson, the lefty with a long three. Bottom of the net. If I were to give him a nickname, I think it'd have to be Sweetness, because he has tremendous shooting touch. 7 points in the quarter, 11 points in the game. 18-17, Calhoun has retaken the lead at the 2:15 mark of quarter number two. Goss into the corner to Kinder. Kinder's not going to take that perimeter shot. Instead, he'll pass it around. It'll come over to this side to Kyle McCullough. Now Frank Goss says, I'll take it the head of the key. Not there. Mason Farrago comes away with the rebound. Farrago, a 5'5 sophomore, pulled that rebound down. And back the other way go the Warriors. Brody Castleton gives it back up top to Farrago. He fires a three from the head of the key. It won't drop. Rattle around, kicked out. Ray and the Bulldogs come back the other way. Inside 100 seconds we go. Ray dribbling up between the circles. He spins out and gives the ball off to Kinder. Kinder lost the handle but then regained. Gives it over to Ray on the left wing. Up top it'll go to McCullough. Now they get the ball to Booth. But Booth has to go all the way outside the lane to get the ball. They're keeping him sealed up down low. And the guy that's doing most of it is Ben Eberlin. Now Eberlin tries to go out on the perimeter and do something he's not capable of doing. Pick up the foul. Eberlin tried to reach in there and slap the ball away. You don't slap down. You're usually going to get called for the foul. Eberlin picks up his first, third team foul on the Warriors. Bulldogs the inbound. It comes into Booth in the corner. They'll swing it back up top to McCullough. McCullough to Kinder. Kinder back to Ray. Ray between the circles goes over on the right side to McCullough. into Booth, who had to step way outside the lane to get the pass. Back to McCullough. He'll drive. He'll have his shot rejected. And coming away with the block was Nelson. Coming away with the ball was Mason Farragut.
Blocked out with his elbow.
It might get one caught in his armpit if they don't watch it. It is Mason Farragut now coming up with the ball and going over on the wing to Nelson. Thought about driving. Instead, he'll go to Eberlin. Eberlin forces his way in off the glass and in. First one didn't go, but Eberlin stayed with it. Picked up his second field goal of the game. Gives him 4 1/4, 6 in the game. 20-17 is the Calhoun lead. Ray with the ball at the midcourt line. Kicks it over on the wing to McCullough. McCullough holding on as we go down to 15 seconds. McCullough with the ball, gives it to Ray, gets it back. Now Booth comes up to set a pick for McCullough. McCullough kicks it out to Ray. Ray thought about a three, but he's covered up by Zirkelbach. They'll go to Kinder. Kinder's going to drive the other baseline. Off the glass on a reverse layup. That, by far and away, is Brent Kinder's best move of the basket. Two pieces of tall timber in there. He went right between those trees. Gets the shot to drop. The quarter comes to a close. Calhoun with a 20-19 lead at halftime. We'll take a break. Be back after these messages on WSMI. We're about ready to get second half action underway in the championship game. But Tim Mize, if you would take me down memory lane in the recent past and give me the final minutes and that overtime of that last game, because that was a doozy, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. I mean, it was one of those games where Gillespie was in control, it seemed like, for most of the game. They could never create enough separation to just put Carlinville away. And you know how it goes. When you let a good team hang around, they usually eventually find their footing. That's what the Cavaliers were able to do. They got enough stops down the stretch, forced it into overtime. And once they got to overtime, Jill Staten hit a big three that put them up three. And then on the very next possession, she took a charge against Shelby Taylor. So that was two-sided there, Gary, because obviously the charge is a big problem against the ball back, but it was the fifth foul on Taylor, so she was done. And really, from that point on, Gillespie was in trouble. They did not score in the overtime.
And Jill Staten knew she had made a critical play. You could tell by her reaction.
Oh, she was fired up.
Oh, yes.
Fired up. She's smacking the floor, screaming at the top of her lungs. That's the type of emotion you like to see. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, sometimes you'll see kids out there, Gary, that are extremely talented, but you can tell they're playing without joy. You know, sometimes when you're so good, sometimes the sport chooses you. It's very nice when you see kids who are out there loving the game that they're playing.
That runs in the Staten family, an older sister of Jill's, the same way. I can remember her coming off the floor in a volleyball substitution. And she was like a cheerleader. She was so excited and so enthused with being out on the floor. And that enthusiasm is contagious for a team.
I remember watching Megan Staten, Jill's older sister, in the county tournament final, diving head first, three rows up into the bleachers. And then everyone kind of like groans and gasps. She pops right up, kind of gives like the princess
okay.
Clap over her head, like, I'm fine.
I remember that play. I told her afterwards, I said, we were really worried about you. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's Megan. She'll be okay.
She's fine. Then she gets up and sings the national anthem.
Yes, and did a great job at that as well. Outstanding athletes, both of them outstanding kids as well. As we get ready to start third quarter action.
Just a side note, saw Megan Staten earlier in the week. She's looking to become a dentist.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, she should be with the smile she always carries.
You got a good one.
We're ready for third quarter action now as Staunton, trailing 20-19, will get the ball first. They'll go into Booth. Booth's turnaround jumper rolls off the rim, will not go. Fighting for the rebound. He gets his own, puts it back in. Foul going to be called against the Warriors.
They actually got it into Kinder, ran a post play for Kinder out of the timeout or out of the half there, Gary. And talk about the leaping ability of him, and he was able to get that shot up and over the timbers.
And it'll be Booth coming up with the rebound, the putback that wouldn't go, but the free throw that does go for Ethan, give him 7 points, ties us up 20-20. Second free throw on its way, and it's good. So good start for the Bulldogs, who come right out and go right to the basket here in the third quarter. They pick up the two free throws and a 21-20 lead.
Calhoun has not been challenged at any point in this tournament, Gary.
This is by far and away the most competition they've had going their way. And now trying to get the ball down in the corner to Castleton. It rolls off of his fingers and out of bounds. That's only the fourth turnover of the game on the Warriors. But now leading 21-20, Staunton will bring the ball back, going from left to right here in the second half. They'll give it off to Ray. He'll take it out between the circles, give it off to Booth. Booth has to come all the way out above the head of the key in order to get the ball. Off to Goss for three. Off the iron, will not go. There's big Ben Eberlin, who comes down with a rebound. Eberlin listed at 6'8", and he is a solid 6'8".
Yeah, that's not program height.
I guarantee you that's tight end material right there.
Yeah, that's legit 6'8".
Yeah, Eberlin is trying to work his way inside. Kinder's trying to force him out, so they'll go outside. Castleton will fire up the three. It won't go. McCullough will come up with the rebound. He'll bring it down on the dribble, give it off to Goss at the head of the key. Thought about a three, then goes to Kinder over on the right wing. Back up top to Goss. Now it goes to Booth. Booth says, I'll try that three. Off the iron, it will not go. And the Warriors had the lane surrounded there as they come away with the rebound. Colby Clark, the 6'2 junior, doing the honors. He'll now set the offense up, dish the ball off to Stone Zirkelbach. Zirkelbach's going to go to Nelson. Nelson has done that the second time tonight. Slides the one foot, then the other foot. Not sure which way he wants to go. If they'd put it to music, it'd be a nice dance step. But in basketball, it's a turnover.
Well, he was too open there, Gary. He turned around and threw a pump fake, but there was no one to fake, and he kind of shuffled his feet as a result.
It'll be the fifth turnover of the game on Calhoun. Kinder with the ball down in the corner. He'll go back up top to Goss. 4-3. Off the iron, no good. There is Colby Clark coming up with yet another rebound. He's 6'2", but when he rebounds, Clark plays like he's about 6'5", like the rest of the players on this team. Clark gives the ball off to Eberlin down in the corner. He'll get the ball back, look inside. Nothing there. He'll take a couple of dribbles. Now he spins, says, why not shoot it? Booth says, no, you don't. Rejects it, but Eberlin comes up with it. Gets it off to Nelson. Oh, beautiful backside pass. Shots missed, but there is Eberlin for the putback, and that's what's so important for the Calhoun Warriors. Whenever a shot is missed, having a guy in front of the rim for the offensive rebound.
Gary, one of the big things in that first half, maybe the biggest for Staunton, is no foul trouble. Ethan Booth has no fouls.
I wish you hadn't said that. I really wish you hadn't said that.
I know.
Here we go. Goss brings the ball out to Booth. Booth swings around. Neither one of these teams like to go very deep on their bench. As they'll go six if they have to, but they don't want to go to 7 and 8. They like to keep the starters on the floor. That's the guys that have practiced together. That's the guys that have trained together. Booth being shadowed there by Eberlin inside. Good, tough defense. To Kinder over on the left wing. Kinder's going to bring it to Booth, the head of the key. Thought about a three, instead gives it off to Goss. Goss dishes it off to McCullough. McCullough back to Goss. I'll take that three. He won't hit it. They've had three of them that have creamed off of the board and just will not go. Back come the Warriors as we hit the 4-4-4 mark of quarter number three. 22-21, Calhoun with the lead. Castleton for three, off front iron, no good. Booth cleans the glass and gives it out to Ray. Away go the Bulldogs, back the other way. Kinder's going to try to drive that baseline. They're going to call him for a travel, as they're going to say he scooped the ball over. Most of the times that is a call that is not called, but this time he didn't get away with it. And as a result, it'll be Calhoun ball. Calhoun wants a timeout. Calhoun 22, Staunton 21. 4:31 showing on that third quarter clock. We're going to keep it right here, Tim Mize. Once again, our previous scores of the day, we've had a boatload of them today, haven't we?
It's been a busy day here on the final day of the Carthenville Holiday Tournament. In the girls' championship game earlier tonight, in overtime, Carthenville beat Gillespie 37-32. And Gary, doesn't right now Staunton and Gillespie kind of feel like they're on similar tracks, where the Bulldogs have had several opportunities here with good looks at three to maybe stretch out what at the time was a one-point lead, could have maybe had it up to 6-7 points. As it is now, they trail by one. You think back to that girls' championship game, missed opportunities for the Miners, and you can only miss so many opportunities in a championship game.
As the farmer would say, you got to make hay while the sun's shining, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
And if you don't take advantage of those opportunities, sooner or later they'll come back to bite you. But right now it is 22-21, Calhoun with the lead. There's a lot of people probably sitting here right now who are amazed that Staunton is staying this close to Calhoun, but they're staying with him tooth and nail. And now Eberlin has the ball slip away, and then he tries to sit on it. And as he reaches down to get it, Goss is there to put two hands on it. Four hands on the ball equals jump ball. Arrow favors Calhoun. So with 4:18 to go, they'll inbound under their own basket. Nelson, no, it's going to be Castleton for three. This one rolls around and comes out. Booth comes up with a rebound. I'll tell you what, Ethan Booth has been doing a good job positioning himself for those defensive rebounds tonight.
When he goes and gets the ball aggressively, yes, he seeks it out.
He is not backing down from this tall timber. He's saying, I'm playing with the likes of me. Goss, for three, bottom of the net.
Isn't that the key for a shooter, Gary? Just keep stroking it. Goss had a couple of three looks that wouldn't go, but he had a quick release on that one.
And he's the kind of player that when he gets hot, he can carry you for a while. His first tray of the day and makes it 24-22. Staunton has regained the lead. Castleton with the ball down to Nelson in the corner. Back up top to Zirkelback. Zirkelback look for Nelson cutting through the lane. Now there's Eberlin. Oh, good collapsing defense by the Bulldogs. They take it away. And then there's a poke by Kobe Clark. Hit Devin Ray in the nose, maybe the mouth. He's checking these dentures to make sure everything's okay there. In any event, the turnover will go against Calhoun, will be their sixth. Staunton with a two-point lead. Devin Ray will bring it down on the dribble. Into the corner to Goss. Oh, nice pass fake there. Got two of the Warriors in the air. They'll go back up top to Ray, who says, let's reset. As Ray tries to reset, there's Zirkel back there trying to give him some problems. Back up top, it goes to Ray. Now it goes to Booth. Booth over on the left elbow. He'll swing it over to Ray for three. Nope, that one won't go. They'll fight for the rebound, and I think Ethan Booth got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and I'm going to blame that one on Tim Mize.
Well, he was due, Gary. He was due. The fact that he was able to play that entire first half without fouling is so impressive because he was super aggressive on both ends of the floor. That was a really good job to play basically 2.5 quarters without a foul.
Well, he has two fouls now, according to the book over there. But anyway, he is not in foul trouble as of yet. If you'll just quit trying to hex him anymore, we'll be okay.
I'm done.
He's there done. Clark with a shot from the head of the key. It won't go. Fighting for the rebound. There's Booth coming away with it. Like the way he grabs that ball with authority, gets two big paws on it and says, you're not getting it. Looks for a guard and heads down floor. Devin Ray being guarded by Zirkelbach out between the circles. He'll give it up to Kyle McCullough. McCullough will pick his dribble up and give it off to Goss. Quickly they'll go to Kinder. Oh, Kinder got him to go up. He went down. Oh, no. They're going to call a basket interference on the Bulldogs as that ball was still laying on the rim. I can't tell you which Bulldog tipped it, but I can tell you it was not me.
It was Booth.
All right, so on the violation, the ball will go back over to Calhoun. Staunton leading by two as we hit the 2:15 mark to Clark over on the right wing. Up top, it'll go to Mason Farrago just into the game. Farrago gives it off to Zirkelbach. Zirkelbach to Eberlin. Eberlin back outside for a three. Will not go. This one was tried by Kobe Clark. The Bulldogs come away with it. Inside 2 minutes we go. It is a two-point game. The Bulldogs have the lead and the ball. Kinder with the ball over in the corner. He wanted to drive baseline, and they're going to call him for the charge.
Ooh.
You're right, it is past my bedtime, but the foul going to be called on Kinder. I'm not going to say I didn't see it that way. I'm just going to say I didn't see it.
There you go. That'll keep you out of trouble.
That'll keep me clean. Zirkelback brings it down between the circles as he has Clark over on the right wing. And now he'll go down low to Zirkelback, who'll kick it out of bounds.
We talked on Saturday about how the final session is usually a really good session because the teams are evenly matched, and that has been the case today. Every game outside of one has been fantastic.
Well, that's one thing about pool play. It does eventually put everybody into a homogeneous grouping, as they would say. Boy, that's a big word
for me. How about that? Where'd that come from?
I don't know, but don't ask me to spell it.
Turnover a new leaf for 2020? Is that what's going on here?
Foul's going to be called on Devin Ray, going to be his second foul. And so the Warriors will inbound, and they're going to bring Clark in to trigger it. He'll have a better look at things than Farrago. Kicks it back up top to Zirkelback. Now over on the right wing it goes. Oh, almost a steal. And Kyle McCullough is going to get called for the reach-in foul, and you can hear from here that was an unpopular call. It looked like he had knifed through and gotten the ball, but they said, nope, you got some flesh too. For McCullough, that'll be his second foul. Fourth team foul is now they're fighting for the ball, and it's Kinder who not only comes away with the ball on his knees but starts dribbling before he gets up. Really a heads-up play there by Brent Kinder.
And the hustle by McCullough to save it to him.
That'll be turnover number 7 against Calhoun. Goss gives the ball off to Booth. Booth is going to drive the baseline, and as he does, Eberlin going to get called for a blocking foul. That's what you got to do on the big guy. You got to force the issue and make him move. Eberlin's going to pick up his third, and he's going to have a seat as he'll be replaced by Brody Castleton, the 6'3 sophomore.
It's a big play.
Yes, indeed it is. As it'll go the loop. Oh, they got Booth inside. Booth thought he had the small guy on him, but there was Nelson coming back as a reserve as he blocks the shot. It is, however, recovered by Staunton, so Ray has the ball out between the circles on the dribble as we head inside 50 seconds to go. 24-22, Staunton with the lead and the ball. Ray goes to the left, Ray goes to the right, goes back to the left, now to Kinder. Kinder being guarded by Zirkelbeck, just powers his way right on up. Brent Kinder with a good job powering to the basket for his eighth point. 26-22, Staunton by 4. Into Nelson at the elbow. Back out top, it goes to Clark. Clark's dribbling, looking inside, trying to find Castleton. Instead, he'll go into Nelson. And Nelson, once again, a little bit hesitant. And as he is, he picks up that pivot foot for turnover number 8. Of those 8 turnovers, at least 3 of them have been Nelson getting his feet tangled up. Now down to 15 seconds to go, leading by 4. Staunton can play for the final shot of the third quarter of the championship game. It'll go off to McCullough. And it's going to be a push-off foul called against Frank Goss. As he said, he got him with a forearm. Okay.
New leaf, Gary.
You know me. I believe the referees are never wrong.
Well, that was your belief.
There's a little poetic justice there as Calhoun comes right back. Is called for traveling. Their ninth turnover. So now with 5 seconds to go, Staunton will get one more attempt. See if they can get the final shot of the quarter. It goes down to 4-3-2. Ray from long range. It will not go. We have completed 3 quarters of play, and after 3 periods, it is Staunton 26, Calhoun 22. Don't go away. Tim Mize, what's coming up?
The Money Quarter.
And we'll bring it right to you on WSMI. We are ready to head into the fourth quarter, and I think there's a lot of people around here who are surprised, to say the least, that Staunton has a lead over what had looked like a very dominating Calhoun Warrior team. Now, that's not to say this one's over by any stretch of the imagination. Staunton will get the ball to start the fourth quarter, and there's Eberlin to come in, reach around, poke the ball away, and now Nelson will bring it back for Calhoun. Off to Eberlin. He'll drive that baseline off the glass. It will not go. Ball goes to the floor. Who's it last touched by? They're going to say it was last touched by Staunton. Well, I'm up here about 60, 55, 45, I don't know, feet away. I'm not going to argue with that call. But let me say this. It was a 50-50 call.
Aren't they all?
Hey.
Good third quarter for Staunton.
Here we go. We've got the superintendent doing her thing out here as there's sweat on the floor. And
Gary, earlier today, I don't remember which game it was, but one of the cheerleaders was doing backflips down the floor, and in mid-backflip, didn't fall, but her nose started bleeding. So she's flipping down the floor, and there's blood everywhere. So we had a fairly lengthy delay when they got the blood trails cleaned up.
My goodness. Shots up, and no good, but the rebound by Eberlin is good. And once again, as we've said before, Calhoun positioning themselves for good offensive rebounds. Eberlin now has 10, and Nelson has 11. And it's 26-24. The Calhoun Warriors have drawn to within 2. Zirkelbach almost had a steal, but McCullough is able to recover. Off to Ray, into the corner to Goss. Back up top, it goes to McCullough. McCullough will give it over to Kinder on the left wing. Up top to Ray, and now to Booth. Booth to Ray. Ray being guarded by Zirkelback. He wants to drive from right to left, gets to the elbow, and then kicks it off. In low it goes to Booth for a baseline jumper. It won't go. Castleton comes away with a rebound, and now Calhoun coming down the floor with 6:40 to go in the fourth quarter, an opportunity to tie or perhaps take the lead. Nelson a little bit confused there, didn't know who to pass to. Knew it was out of his shooting range. Well, I don't know if it's ever out of his shooting range. But anyway, they'll get the ball into Eberlin, and he's always good under the basket. 4 in the quarter, 12 in the game. We're tied 26-26. Eberlin, the big man on campus here in the fourth quarter, he has the only 4 points that have been scored in the first 2 minutes of quarter number four. Kinder to Ray, to Kinder to McCullough. McCullough's going to drive baseline. It's going to be a hand check on the Calhoun defense. This one will go against, I believe that's going to go against Caden Ballman, who pick up his first. Only the third team foul. Alley-oop to Booth. It's hard to get that alley-oop in there when you got 6'8 and 6'7 defending you. And it is deflected and taken away by the Warriors. Zirkelback's going to stop. No, he's not going to pop. He'll give it off to Eberlin. Eberlin, a little short jumper from about 10 feet over on the left side. It won't go. Ray comes up with a rebound. 5:45 to go. Down the lane goes Kinder. Tall timber inside there. You got Nelson. You got Eberlin. You got to take your pick. One of them committed the foul. This one, I believe, is going to go against Eberlin. Uh-oh. As far as the Warriors are concerned, that was the wrong guy. That'll be his fourth.
It's hard to do, Gary, but the best way to attack shot blocking at height is just go right into their chest, and that's what Kinder has been doing here tonight, aggressive to the rim.
No, the hardest part is doing that and keeping your eyes open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the tendency is I don't want to see what comes crashing down on me.
You know, Terry Till used to always say, good things happen when you take the ball to the hole, and that has been the case for Staunton here tonight.
That is very true. Kinder missed that first free throw. Second free throw's up. He missed that one as well. But Goss comes away with a rebound. Good hustle there. Now, that pass was deflected, I believe. No, they're going to say it was not. Now he's going to ask if it wasn't deflected. One official's going to go down to the other official.
I think they'll switch this.
They're going to converse. All right, good call. They got the call right. Did you like the way Ty Locks was very calm with going to the official and saying, sir, I think it's our ball.
That's what you want to see, though. You like to see the officials get together and get it right. That's what happened there.
Yes. Indeed it was. Staunton still has the ball. The score is still tied at 26. Goss has it in the corner. Goss has picked up his dribble. Shouldn't have done that. Kicks it out to Ray. Back over it goes to the other side to Kinder. Kinder wants to go into Booth, and Booth is covered up. He'll come outside the free throw lane to get the ball, being guarded by Nelson. Now off to Ray, now to Goss. Goss will swing it back over to the other side to McCullough. He'll go baseline, kick it out to Booth. He's at the three-point line. He'll bring it back over to Ray. They'll reset the offense at the five-minute mark. They'll set Booth over on one low post and go to Kinder to the high post. He wants to get the ball into Booth. He forces it for turnover number 10. Back the other way, it's Zirkelback. Shots up as he's fallen to the ground. Stone Zirkelback with a circus shot gets his fifth point of the night, makes it 28-26. Calhoun back in the lead in this seesaw game. To McCullough it goes, now to Booth. And this time, Nelson doesn't get away with a reach in, 25 feet away from the basket. Nelson will pick up. You ready for this? Personal foul number one. Now, he's been playing some good aggressive defense, but he's been staying pretty clean with it. At least he's not being getting caught. And my feeling is always, if they don't blow the whistle, it's not a foul. However, this time, Booth gets a lob pass, goes under the basket for the reverse layup, gets the shot to drop, draws the foul on Brody Castleton. Nice play by Ethan Booth, who'll get two with a chance for three.
He's had such a phenomenal senior year here in the early stages, and he's had a monster game here tonight. Not necessarily big point totals, but this is a low-scoring game, and he's got 10 points.
He is setting on 10 as he missed that free throw, and we're tied 28-28 with 4:30 to go. Well, the girls' championship, they couldn't decide anything in 30 minutes, had to go overtime. Now it is going to be Ballman with a nice pass on the baseline over to Clark. Clark has his shot rejected. And it'll be Calhoun ball out of bounds under their own basket. Zirkelbach will be the trigger man. He'll have Castleton over on one block, and now Nelson will move out, get the ball, go to the hole, lost control, but he's there for the offensive rebound. It doesn't matter if the first shot goes. just keep it alive, play handy over, whatever you want.
Yeah, that was such an athletic play. He lost it on the way up. Basically, volleyball swatted it off the rim and got the rebound and put it home.
He wanted to get an offensive rebound, and he does. Now they reach around, does Nelson, and pokes the ball out, but Staunton maintains control. I'll tell you what, I really like Nelson's defense. He is very aggressive, and he can spin from one side to the other, wrap you up, and use those long arms to deflect passes. It's McCullough now with the ball driving into the lane, giving it off to Goss for three. It comes up short, goes out of bounds, and so Calhoun now leading 30-28. They'll get the ball back at the 3:42 mark.
That was one of those, Gary, for a shooter. As soon as it leaves your hand, you think, oh, no.
Well, that's not exactly what you think, but that's what we'll say on here.
Yeah, that's right.
Now this time it goes to Ballman. Ballman tries to go inside. Pass is deflected. Kinder comes away with it. 10 turnovers on CHS. 10 turnovers on SHS. Kinder with the ball. Staunton with a chance to tie, maybe take the lead as they trail 30-28 at the 3:15 mark. Ray gets the ball, free throw line extended on the right side. Kicks it up top to Booth. Now to McCullough over in the corner on the left side. Up top to Goss, thought about a three. Instead, he'll take a couple of dribbles, give it off to Kinder. They'll go dribble drive. Now Kinder to the hole, off the glass, and good. Just be patient. Just wait for the opening, and when you find it, slice it and dice it. Kinder with his 10th point of the game ties this one up 30-30. 2:54 to go in the fourth quarter. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages on WSMI. Megan Cordy, our producer, back at the studio. Been a long day for her as she's been spinning the dials back there to keep us on the air and make us sound as good as possible. We appreciate all of your effort. Appreciate all of your efforts back there, young lady. We're headed down the stretch run here with 2:54 to go in the fourth quarter. 30-30 is our score. It will be Corey Nelson, the 6'7 junior, bringing the ball down and then posting up as he kicks it over on the wing. Castleton in the corner for three. Will not go. Ray comes up with the rebound. Back the other way go the Bulldogs as we hit the 2:35 mark. McCullough between the circles, going to pick up his dribble and give it off to Goss. Goss looking for Kinder, who's swallowed up there by two defenders. Now over to Ray for three. Comes up short this time. Fighting for the rebound, Castleton comes up with it. 2:22 showing on that fourth quarter clock. 3:03 showing on the scoreboard. Nelson brings it down and takes it over to Ballman on the wing. Caden Ballman into the corner goes to Castleton. He wasn't shooting that shot. He was trying to pass for Eberlin. It went over everything, but Ballman was able to recover. Off to Zirkelback, he'll drive the lane and then kick it out to Eberlin. Now to Ballman for three in the corner. Will not go. Ray comes up with another rebound. Ray's not always leaping for rebounds, but he's always getting himself in good position to get those boards in the Bulldogs now with another chance to take the lead.
That's so much a rebounding, positioning and want to.
Tell you what, he's got the want to, that's
yes,
for
does.
Sure. Ballman reaches in, got away with it. Ball goes over to Booth. Now we're inside 100 seconds, heading towards 90 right now. As McCullough holds the ball, Ballman on him on defense. Off to Ray, it'll go. Ray thought about a three. Had missed one there just a minute ago. Maybe that entered his mind. Got to take that out of your mind, young man. If it's there and presents itself, shoot it. That's what I always did until I got taken out.
Here, this is always a tough spot for a high school team. They're kind of maybe try to hold for the final shot, but man, 90 seconds is a long time to hold the ball.
Well, I think in this situation, whoa, off the glass and no good. I think in this situation they were holding not necessarily for the final shot, but for a good shot, trying to work that dribble drive, and Kinter kind of went out of control. Shot goes off the backboard. Foul going to be called on Ethan Booth, and he's going to pick up his third. That is the 16th foul against the Bulldogs. Both teams with 16 fouls. So as we hit the final minute, it'll be bonus for each side. Nelson's going to bring it down between the circles. He's got over on this wing, Stone Zirkelback. Zirkelback will go back up top. No, he'll go down in the corner to Castleton, looking to see if they can get Eberlin inside. Eberlin posting up low, then he went high, which opened up Castleton low, but they didn't see him. Over on the wing, it goes to Zirkelback. He's going to drive. Looked like he may have lost control and traveled. They didn't call it. It goes to Nelson, and he stops and pops. I tell you what, that is one fine soft touch from about 12 to 14 feet out. for Corey Nelson. He now has 15 points on the game. Wood got a timeout on the floor. 28.5 seconds showing on the fourth quarter clock. Calhoun, 32. Staunton, 30. Back after this one message on WSMI. Megan Cordy, our producer, back in the studio. We're winding down on 2019, but basketball action, although the holiday tournaments are over, we'll have some regular season games coming, and then lo and behold, in a week or two, what are we going to do?
Well, we'll have the Macoupin County Tournament, of course. That'll be at Staunton this year, and then the Rick McGraw Invitational Tournament. That all starts on that third week of January, and we'll have coverage of both on the Tally Broadcasting Stations.
And, of course, if you want to know what our broadcast schedule is going to be, where do you go?
WSMIRadio.com.
Works every time. Staunton now trailing by two, 32-30. Calhoun with the lead, Staunton with the ball. They'll inbound to Devin Gray. He'll bring it across midcourt, Zirkle back, trying to force him to stay over on the left side. He'll kick it up top to McCullough, now to Ray, 15 seconds. Oh, they tried the lob pass to Booth. And try as they might, they threw it over the top and out of bounds. Turnover number 11 might be the cost list.
And it was open, too.
Yes, it was there. The back door was open, but the pass was elevated. And now they've got to get the ball back with 17 seconds to go. Whoa. Two fouls, two. That would be McCullough fouling Clark.
Here, we've seen Staunton run that lob play with a lot of success in the early part of the season, and you alluded to it earlier, and I think this was the case again. The lob pass, you throw it a little higher than you might normally when you're trying to get it over 6'7", 6'8".
Yes, it does make a difference. He's not standing tall amongst the other timber there, but he's just one of many. Now it'll be Colby Clark, the 6'2 junior, to shoot the one and one off the back iron. No good. Somehow or another, Everland got inside of Booth, got the rebound position, got the putback, and got the foul.
That wow. might do it.
What a play. Well, they talk about Ben Eberlin, and he is a key cog in this Calhoun team. He's come up with 6 points here in the fourth quarter. He has 14 points on the game. He's looking for number 15. It won't go, but they almost got the rebound, did Nelson. So with 11.9 seconds to go, the Bulldogs are trailing by four. As that last foul was called against Frank Goss, and that will be his second. And, of course, following the game, we'll have the plaques presented to both teams for runner-up and championship of the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. And then we will also have the announcement of the all-tournament team. While we have a second, Tim, could you give us the ladies' all-tournament team?
I sure can. The all-tournament team for the girls, of course, from the champion Carlinville Cavaliers, you had Aaron Seal and Gracie Reels. From Gillespie, it was Shelby Taylor and Keaton Link. Greenfield Northwestern put two ladies on, Jessa Vetter and Alexis Pullman, and then Carly Bowden of Litchfield. That is your 2019 Carlinville Holiday All-Tournament team.
And, of course, the championship went to the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers for the third year in a row. And how many did you say that was total?
Seven.
Seven. You know, that's impressive to have seven. But to me, to have three in a row means you've had a run of talent come through your school, that they have been very productive. These ladies who are seniors now, they were the role players when they were sophomores, but the tradition has continued.
That's exactly right. They beat a real good Staunton team in the final last year, beat a good Gillespie team in the championship this year.
Outstanding basketball indeed in the championship game for the girls, and we're seeing the same thing here. Now Staunton needs to get a couple of buckets. They'll get the ball to Kinder. He'll bring the ball down, go to the glass, off the glass. No, shot is going to be blocked. He got his own shot back, couldn't do anything with it. Now Clark has it. The ball is going to be going down the floor, and they're going to call a foul on Kyle McCullough, but it's going to be too little too late, as only 6/10 of a second show on the clock. 34-30, Calhoun has the lead. Calhoun will get the win, and some of this large crowd starting to head out now to try to beat the traffic, perhaps. The Calhoun bench down there doing a little bit of wave, having a little bit of fun. Free throw is up, and it's good for Stone Zirkleback, who picks up his sixth point of the game. He'll get one more to determine what our final score will be. He makes the second one. And that makes it 36-30 as Staunton inbounds. That will be our final score. as Calhoun wins this one 36-30. We'll take a break and be back to recap this exciting action that you've been listening to on WSMI.
Tim Mize, Gary Boker back here at the Big House on West Main in Carthenville. We're just about set to go down to the floor for the trophy presentation and the announcement of the all-tournament team. Principal Pat Drew getting set.
Again, we'd like to congratulate both teams on an excellent, excellent championship game. At this time, our superintendent, Dr. Shookman, will present the runner-up plaque to the Staunton Bulldogs. And now for the presentation of the championship trophy to the Calhoun Warriors. This is Hardin Calhoun's second year winning the championship. Now for the all-tournament team. First member, Corey Nelson of Hardin Calhoun. Stone Zirkelbach, Hardin Calhoun. Ben Eberlin, Hardin Calhoun. Andrew Booth, Staunton. Ethan Booth, my apologies. Brent Kinder, Staunton. Anthony Cravagna, Gillespie. And the last member of this year's all-tournament team, Jace Tukin from Hillsboro. Congratulations. Please have a safe trip home.
That was Pat Drew, the principal here at Carthenville High School, as the Calhoun Warriors back-to-back holiday tournament champions here at Carthenville. And again, the all-tournament team, Corey Nelson, Ben Eberlin, and Stone Zirkelbach of your champion Calhoun Warriors, Ethan Booth and Brent Kinder of Staunton, then Anthony Cavagna of Gillespie, who scored his 1,000th career point in this tournament, and Jace Tekin of Hillsboro. That is your 2019 Carthenville Holiday All-Tournament team.
What a way to end the day, an outstanding game, a game that saw Staunton with a 7-6 lead after one quarter. Calhoun had a one-point lead at the halftime. Staunton came back with a four-point advantage in the third quarter, and then Calhoun with a big 14-4 fourth quarter as they won this one going away 36-30. Looking first at the Staunton Bulldogs, who see their overall season record drop to 7-5. They were led by Brent Kinder, who had 10 points, and Ethan Booth, who had 10 points as well. Then it was 6 points for Devin Ray, 3 points for Frank Goss, and 1 point for Kyle McCullough. Quarters of 7, 12, 7, and 4 points in that fourth quarter, where they were 0-3. They finished 2-5 from the free throw line, committed 11 turnovers, and as we said, they lose this one 36-30. The Staunton Bulldogs will head home with a 7-5 record overall. For the victorious Calhoun Warriors, who win this tournament for the second year in a row, they were led by 6'7 junior Corey Nelson with 15 points, 6'8 junior Ben Eberlin with 14 points, and 6'2 senior Stone Zirkelbach with 7 points. And so for the Calhoun Warriors, it was just 3 guys scoring, but they scored enough as they won this one 36-30. Looking at their quarter scores, 6 in the first, 14 in the second, only 2 points in the third quarter, but a big 14-point fourth quarter turned a 26-22 deficit into a 36-30 victory for the Calhoun Warriors, who now improve to a perfect, still perfect, 9-0 record on the season. As we said, the all-tournament team was just announced. Corey Nelson, Stone Zirkelbach, and Ben Eberlin from Calhoun made the all-tournament team. Ethan Booth and Brent Kinder from Staunton on the all-tournament team. Anthony Cravagna from Gillespie on the all-tournament team. And Jace Teakin from Hillsboro on the all-tournament team as well. We're going to Tim Mize right
Thank
now.
Thank you very much, Gary Booker. We're here now with Calhoun Warriors head coach Ryan Grainer. And, Coach, that was a heck of a battle.
Yes, it was. We knew coming in Staunton was going to give us more than we wanted, and they gave us way more than we wanted, to put it mildly. We've got a lot to work on. We knew that coming in, but tonight they really exploited some of our flaws and some of our youngness, and our new guys at the varsity level showed this evening. I don't know if the spotlight was too big or if it was the fact that the game was tied, and the longer it went, the tighter they got. But it definitely gave us a lot of things to work on heading into the new year. But like I said, the boys battled, and we'll take it.
Well, and coming into the game, I mean, you guys were certainly the favorite, and the longer Staunton hangs around, the more pressure goes on you guys. So you had to love the way your kids responded down the stretch.
Big plays at the end. We've been fortunate enough in a couple games this year to have boys step up when we needed something to happen, and they made it happen. And once again, it happened tonight. So I know it's a hell of a cliche, but you know, we stuck our noses in there long enough to give ourselves a chance to win. That's what it's about.
We saw you here last year, of course. This year, man, your big kids, they certainly got better in the offseason.
Well, yeah. I mean, they continue to work upon their games. And, you know, it's a luxury at a school of 125 kids to have a 6'7", 6'8", and then have guys plug in around them. So, I mean, we got a long way to go, but the sky's the limit for this team, I do believe.
You know, last year, you know, Nelson, everyone, they got a lot of the headlines. Ballman was huge for you. Zirkelbach is that Ballman role this year.
He's stepping in. He's trying to fill some very big shoes. Drew's probably one of the best players I've coached in the last 15 years. And obviously, Stone having to guard him every day in practice last year, he picked up a few tricks along the way. But Stone so far has really stepped up as a senior, and he's doing the things we need him to.
Hey, if you're going to take a long bus ride, you might as well take the championship trophy back with you.
It does make it a little sweeter, that's for sure.
Ryan Grainer, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, an excellent interview. Thank you, Tim Mize and Ryan Grainer, for that outstanding interview. And, of course, an outstanding effort by your Calhoun Warriors here, not just this evening, but throughout the tournament. They came into pool play, and Calhoun put away Litchfield 60-43 in day one. They defeated Hillsboro 53-25 in day number two, and they defeated Carlinville 62-24 in day three. So it looked like the Calhoun Warriors were the dominant team, and I think most people coming in here said, well, it should be Calhoun's tournament to win. The only people who maybe didn't have that on their mind were also wearing red, because the Staunton Bulldogs, I'm not saying they weren't impressed, but they weren't threatened by what they saw out of the Calhoun Warriors. They brought their A game, and I thought tonight Staunton played perhaps one of the best games that I've seen them play this season. And I know that Coach Ty Locks, despite the fact that they could not hold on and get the victory, although they had a 4-point lead going into the fourth quarter, you've got to like the way these guys play. You got to like the way these guys progressed. And you got to believe that coach and team are really starting to get a chemistry. This is a team that sets at 7-5, but this is a team that I don't think anybody in the South Central is really that anxious to take on. They will be a formidable foe day in, day out.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you can see this team for Staunton coming into the year. I don't think people really knew what to expect. Last year, there was high expectations for Staunton. A lot of people thought, okay, this is the year of the Bulldogs. Didn't work out that way last year. Now you come in, first year head coach, you know, not from Staunton, you know, still teaching over Bethalto, obviously a great pedigree of coaching there at Civic Memorial for Ty Locks, but they're just, it was hard to get a read on what Staunton was going to look like. And they come out, they start so fast early in the year. It's like, oh, okay. They get the top seed in the tournament. It's like, okay. And then you watch them roll through. It's like, man, they are impressive. And then I think you and I both thought this was the type of game we were going to get tonight between Staunton and Calhoun. But there was a big unknown, was can Staunton stay out of foul trouble? And they did. and they had a chance late in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's the thing. I think both of these teams, if there's one fault or shortcoming, they're not deep on the bench. They have to keep their starters on the floor in order to be as effective as possible. Well, with that being said, every team will tell you the same thing. But we watched Kevin Gray and the way he runs 8, 9, 10 girls in and out at Gillespie. And, of course, Coach Deneve with the Carlinville girls, he gets some good support off of his bench as well. But with the boys of Staunton and the boys of Calhoun, they both need to keep their starters on the floor the vast majority of the time. And when they do that, good things will happen. And as we look ahead, we know that Staunton is going to have some big games coming up in the conference. And, of course, we're already starting to look ahead to the county, where it looks like they might be the best match against North Mac. Who knows? We will see. But for the Calhoun Warriors, down the road for them, they've got a big game coming up later in January against Winchester. And Winchester is one of those teams that people would say, you think you've seen nothing? Something you ain't seen nothing yet. And, of course, that when I was talking to one of the Calhoun people, I said, you know, it might be better off if you guys would move that game to the Jacksonville Bowl or maybe to Champaign, because you could fill the place with the people that will come out of West Central Illinois to watch that. But big games coming up for both of these teams. But the one thing I thought in summarizing the tournament this week, I came in wondering just how good some of these teams were, and I come away thinking that I've seen improvement on all levels from all teams. This has been a good progressive experience for each and every team.
Well, that's the nice thing when you know you get these pool play tournaments where you know you're going to get four games. You know that, and so you, as a coach, you have certain things that you want to get done in those four games heading in to the new year. And I think you're right. But we saw some good things from a lot of teams in this tournament this week.
And I think it would also be good, and I'm not one to be scheduling the tournament in future years, but I really like that day off before the final day. I think every team had the opportunity to recharge a little bit. And whereas if you play four games in 4 days, you might come out a little bit more drained on that fourth day. I think everybody saw that we saw today, they were well rested and they came out with their A game, and that's why we had such exciting basketball all day long, starting with that very first game.
Yeah, the very first game went to double overtime today. That was the girls' fifth place game that saw Staunton beat South County 56-49. In the girls' third place game, it was Greenfield Northwestern over Litchfield 42-39. And in the girls' seventh place game, Nokomis beat Bunker Hill 45-18. Boys' third-place game, Hillsborough beat Gillespie 60-51. The boys' fifth-place game went to Litchfield over Bunker Hill 42-31. And in the boys' seventh-place game, it was Carletonville topping Wood River 53-48. That brought us to our championship session, and what a pair of championship games we were treated to here tonight at the Carletonville Holiday Tournament. The girls' championship game went to overtime as Carletonville wins their third championship in a row. They beat Gillespie 37-32. And then in the boys' championship game just completed, Calhoun beat Staunton 36-30, the second straight championship for the Warriors here at Carletonville. And Gary, 6-point spread in the final, but it was a lot closer than that. It was a one-possession game down the stretch.
Well, it was a quarter. The fourth quarter was a quarter of frustration for Staunton because they were so close to the finish line. They kept thinking, if we can just get a shot here or a shot there. But credit the Calhoun defense. They made life difficult in that fourth quarter, and that's what championship teams do.
You could tell their defensive intensity really picked up down the stretch. Their ball pressure was a little tighter. They were a little more aggressive on the overplays, and it paid huge dividends for them down the stretch as they pull out the victory 36-30 over Staunton.
Darren Deneve said it best. Defense wins. It may be ugly, but defense wins championships, and I think both teams proved that tonight.
It has for a long time, and I don't suspect that's going to be something that's going to change moving forward, Gary.
Well, to quote Tito, yeah, the defense will bring home the championships.
That's exactly right.
Well, I don't know what it is about it, but somehow or another, every time I do a broadcast, he still comes to mind.
Me
and
too.
I hope that never ceases.
I'm with you 1,000% on that. So the 54th annual Carletonville Holiday Tournament is in the books. Congratulations to the Carletonville Lady Cavaliers and the Calhoun Warriors. They both defend their championships here in 2019. Thanks to Darren Deneve, Pat Drew, all the folks here at Carletonville who have donated their time over Christmas break here to make this tournament run as smoothly as it does year after year. So we thank all the wonderful folks at Carletonville for their hospitality throughout the week. Of course, thanks to our basketball sponsors. Without them, none of these broadcasts are possible. Please go out, patronize the business that you heard on the broadcast. Without them, we're not able to bring you any high school sports on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Of course, thanks to Megan Cordy. She produced tonight's championship action here on WSMI FM 106. Remember, you can get all of our broadcasts in a podcast online at WSMIRadio.com. For Gary Boker, I am Tim Mize. The 54th annual Carletonville Holiday Tournament is in the books. Congratulations to the Carletonville girls and the Calhoun boys champions here in 2019. We say goodnight from Carletonville and have a happy new year.